You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
If you've watched the Netflix series House of Cards, our suspicions that the stereotype of politicians is probably true and they don't have our best interests at heart. Other professions are held at much higher esteem, veterinarians, for instance. But if you watched a recent television expose, it casts some doubt on veterinarians and veterinary medicine. My guest today is Dr. Clark Phobian. He is the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association, and we're going to try to debunk some of those stereotypes that were brought about on this 2020 expose. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Swipeit's revolutionary new product that literally swipes away cat hair from virtually any surface. You know, most of us struggle with a roller or vacuum cleaner to clean up cat hair, but anyone who has tried either of these knows they just don't work very well. But Swipeit's patent pending glove has a magnetic-like quality that removes cat hair from almost everything. And best of all, Swipeit's is machine washable, so you can use it over and over again. To order, just visit swipeits.com. That's S-W-I-P-E-T-S. A simple solution for shedding.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Phobian, thank you very much for being with us today. I understand you have a little bit of a catch in your voice, so in case you need to cough, please feel free.
Yes, I've been traveling quite a bit. I probably shook one hand too many, but I'm feeling fairly well, and I am certain this will not affect our discussion this afternoon.
Fabulous. Well, veterinarians seem to have a very good reputation as taking care of some of the most important members of our lives, our pets. I have a feeling you had an opportunity to watch that expose. Overall, what was your feeling about the leanings of it?
I feel it was very biased. I would say it was sensationalized reporting, and I remember it was broadcast when we were in Schaumburg, the headquarters of AVMA, for a board meeting. So I was watching it on a hotel television with a number of other board members, and my heart just sank. I mean, this was going contrary to all of our personal experiences and all of our personal feelings and all the many things we're trying to accomplish for AVMA.
I think it's true that anytime you are so invested emotionally with something, that our objectivity can be muddied up a bit. So I know when clients bring their pets to me, and these are such important parts of their family, and I have a feeling they come through the door, kind of like you and I going to our doctor sometimes. We're going there for our well checkup, and we feel good, but oh, there's that bit of trepidation that maybe they're going to find something wrong. Or you go and you're not feeling good, you have that headache, and I'm very good at jumping off the cliff. If I have a headache, it's never a headache. It has to be a brain tumor. So when we go in, here we have no control. You try to have control over your life, but your pet is now at somebody else's mercy. What should people do when they go in and are seeking medical assistance for their pets? Why don't you start off with just wellness? What should they do on a wellness basis?
Well, first, I do want to reiterate some points you made. We have all sat in doctor's offices waiting for various examinations or procedures, and we know how sweaty our hands get and how we may even have the trembles. And so you are correct that as veterinarians, we do need to realize with the increasing value and connectedness of pets with their owners that they are feeling these feelings for their very own pet, these same feelings of uncertainty and the fears they would have about what the exam may or may not reveal. So yes, first is understanding and empathizing with the feelings of our clients. Then the other aspect of your comments related to preventive and wellness care. And here again, I would relate that exactly to what you and I provide for ourselves and our families. So we usually are seeking regular medical care from our ophthalmologist to our dentist to our human physician. We are often visiting these medical professionals when really we have no underlying medical condition. We are wanting our eyes checked at a regular basis. We are wanting our oral health and hygiene examined regularly with preventive cleaning of our teeth. We want checkups to see how we're doing physically health-wise, particularly in younger children and older adults. So these are all things we're very familiar with. And so you're correct that in visualizing preventive and wellness care for our pets is just as rational, just as logical, and just as valuable.
I think sometimes people have such a hard time. We as veterinarians, you know, right now our listeners saying, but my pet feels fine. Why do I need to take it in? My dog is running around normally. It, you know, every once in a while maybe has a little hitch in its get along. The cat, you know, it's indoor cat. It doesn't need to see the veterinarian. So it's hard pressed for us to say, bring it in. This is going to be an investment in your pet's well-being. Being proactive is so much better because so many times people just see the dollar sign associated with taking that pet in, going, but the doctor said it was normal. Why do I need to take it in?
You're exactly right. And that is a perplexing dilemma that we have been increasingly confronted with lately. There have been some recent studies that show that pet visits to the veterinarian, rather than increasing over the last number of years, have actually shown a decrease. But more importantly, what this also shows is that there's a subsequent, we think there's a direct relationship here possibly, increase in many preventable health care conditions. Dr. Cruz, things such as parasites, both internal with intestinal worms and heartworms, and external parasites such as fleas, and particularly ticks with the increase we're seeing in tick-borne diseases. There are conditions that affect the bones and muscles, arthritic conditions that can be addressed early. There is certainly a problem among our pets of obesity that can certainly have negative repercussions on their well-being for our pets, just as it is for people. And if we can address the appropriate nutrition, we can increase their health and vitality. So yes, and dental issues also is something that comes to mind before I would move on to another subject. So yes, there are many aspects of what we would call an apparently healthy pet that when this pet is examined by a veterinarian, they will see things that the pet owner is not trained to see, and the pet has shown no outward evidence that these situations were possibly present. And the veterinarian can take and make the appropriate recommendations, either for treating a condition that is caught early or preventing certain conditions from occurring.
It's fascinating because every once in a while I get to play the fly on the wall. And you're talking right now about being proactive in obesity and dental disease. My daughter lives in Montana, and last time I was visiting, she was taking her two cats in for their yearly wellness exam. So come along, Mom. She introduced me as her mom and not as being a veterinarian. So I just sat there and observed. And every veterinarian is going to be a little bit different as every MD. Some give you more information, some less. I already told her cat needed to have its teeth clean. Kitty was on the chubby side, and she's being an RN, a nurse, has that medical background. But sometimes you have to be proactive in what you're asking, because this veterinarian gave a good exam but didn't talk to her about different issues. She had to bring it up. So could you address how people need to be a team member in their pet's health? How sometimes they may need to broach subjects they're concerned with?
You are touching on one of the main aspects of your professional career, Dr. Cruz, and that is communications. And you are correct that having the medical knowledge, performing an exceptional examination, but not having the people skills to connect with your clients or communicate your concerns would be a real deterrent to that pet receiving the appropriate health care and to the veterinarian offering the services that they are trained to give. There are programs that the American Veterinary Medical Association is working with. The Partnership for Healthy Pets is one of them. These are some aids and tools in how we as veterinarians can connect to and provide the needs of our clients and their pets was appropriate and understandable for from both sides of the examination table.
And I think it's so important that our pet parents understand that you are part of the team, that they need to ask questions also, but sometimes they don't know what questions to ask. So there are certain sites on, you know, Dr. Google that just drive me crazy, give very inaccurate information. But there are some good ones, like the American Veterinary Medical Association, www.avma.org, has some great information that people can arm themselves with if they have questions before they go into their veterinarian. Because when they go in, there are various levels, I think, of care that can be offered. And I think it's always best I try to offer the best medicine, but that's not always something that a client is going to be comfortable with. So I think they need to feel free and comfortable asking, what are some of the options that I have available? Because this 2020 expose again made it sound as though they're always trying to be upsold. And I don't think that's always true.
I understand the exact point of your inquiry. And that is a challenge that I personally face every day with my clients. Because our clients do not come in with any designated amount they're willing to spend. And as you indicated, with the growing value of pets in the household and with increasing medical technology, there are tremendous variety of medical services and techniques that can be provided to the client nowadays. But every client may not be in a position to take advantage of those. And so certainly it is not inappropriate in my perspective to discuss any given conditions and the numerous alternative methods that we might have to address those. And this does come back to the earlier comment you made on the communications aspect. And one thing that I fear, and we do need to watch for, and maybe that is what brought about this program concerning the offering of veterinary services, would be those individual veterinarians who would not feel comfortable offering anything but the very highest standard of care for any given pet. That might work in certain specific locales or economic ranges, but for the vast majority of us veterinary practitioners, we have to take into account the welfare of the pet along with the owner's ability to provide the appropriate needed medical services.
And that is so true. And just because you cannot give the absolute best, then that doesn't mean you don't care. We're talking right now with Dr. Clark Phobian. He is the current president of the American Veterinary Medical Association. We'll be right back after the short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Dyson. The new Dyson Animal Vacs are powerful bagless upright vacuums for homes with pets. Air muscle and radial root cyclone technology generates the strongest suction power to powerfully remove dust, dirt, and pet hair from the home or car. To order your Dyson Animal Vac, go to DysonDeals.com. DysonDeals.com to order your Dyson Animal Vac today.
Dyson, music to your ears.
Every pet is unique. Maybe they're gray in the muzzle, yet young at heart. Maybe they're growing out of the puppy stage and into their paws and ears. Or maybe they're just trying to maintain a more girlish figure. At PetSmart, we have the right food for your pet at a great value for you. PetSmart. Be better together.
Go to PetSmartDeal.com and save up to 30% on pawsome gifts for the pets and pet people in your life. Toys, collars, leashes, PetSmart gift cards, treats, and more. Go to PetSmartDeal.com today. PetSmartDeal.com.
This year, Americans are expected to spend a jaw-dropping $36 billion on their pets. From lighted leashes to high-end spa products, the discriminating pet owner can find just about anything to pamper his or her pet. Hi, this is Michelle Fern. Join me every week for Best Bets for Pets, where we'll talk about the latest pet products and talk to the companies that make them. Best Bets for Pets, every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Dr. Phobian, you mentioned that sometimes there's that socioeconomic basis. A pet owner may want to do the very best that they can, and they just can't even afford their own medical care. And now with the Affordable Care Act, we know that things may be changing. But in veterinary medicine, that's not really something that's happening, but we do have veterinary pet insurance. Could you kind of touch a little bit about pet insurance and how that differs from human medical insurance?
Well, I don't know how specific it's appropriate to go here, but one thing that needs to be understood by everyone involved in insurance for medical procedures is that these are not giveaway programs. The insurance companies do not distribute monies for medical care and services that they have not collected from their patients or clients. And so I always suggest to my clients that they look at insurance not as a means to receive more than they pay in, but rather as a planning modality or planning program where they can disperse the cost of caring for their pet over the lifetime of that pet through years that it may be apparently healthy and not require any veterinary services, to points in its life where it may be very seriously ill or injured and need some rather extensive diagnostics or treatments. So in the sense that insurance is a means to distribute or disperse the cost of veterinary care for a pet over its lifetime, that is a tremendous advantage to a number of my clients, and it is something that we do recommend. It certainly makes sense to me that if you are on an insurance policy that where you would pay in so much every month or every half year or quarter, that it then gives you the capacity to provide the level of care your pet needs when a sudden event occurs that you may not be in a position to have the out-of-pocket finances to provide for that.
Insurance is such a godsend for so many of my clients that come in because they want to do treatment, and all of a sudden I show them the treatment plan, they take a deep swallow and go, it's okay, I have pet insurance, I can do this. Or I've seen the opposite where they would love to do it and they just can't afford it. And we'll do the best that we can for that pet, but knowing that it's not the optimal care. One of the things, again, on this 2020 expose was talking about veterinarians sometimes using the C word to get people to do things and finding a lump and whether or not this is cancer. And I feel badly sometimes myself and trying to watch this going, here is, people say, well, can't you just tell from looking at it, Doc, what it is? Or when you take out the lump, do you have to send it in for biopsy? Because that's somewhat expensive. Going, I can't tell just from looking at it. A lump or bump may have been there for an extended period of time, and it could have changed. And that's happened to me recently, where a cat had a lump on its ear. Oh, it had been there for years, and I knew this client, knew this pet very well, but it had changed. We need to send it in, and it turned out to be cancer. There are situations where veterinarians are trying to do the best, but we are not omnipotent. We don't know it all. And I think that's one of the things I so enjoy about veterinary medicine. We're always learning. Things are always improving.
That is a glaring example of how what I would call this sensationalized reporting that was done on this particular segment of 2020 could actually be doing a disservice to pet owners rather than a service. Because you're making reference to the point that one of the individuals they had on there said that a dog was brought to him with a lump and that he recommended keeping an eye on it. And the practice owner admonished him, saying that maybe other actions should have occurred. Now, what I don't know here, Dr. Cruz, is what kind of communications occurred. Because you were correct, with certain clients, depending on what their level of concern is and how the mass might appear and certain aspects of how long it's been present, how rapidly it's growing, where it's located. I'm not saying that I have not had clients keep an eye on a mass, but only after that client is appraised, as you stated earlier, I cannot assure them what the exact status of that mass would be. And there are some procedures that can be rather non-invasive and readily performed. Certain masses can be aspirated and the cells can be examined for the danger potential that mass might pose. Also, many clients, even based on how they would react if a similar mass were found on themselves, are in a position to say, well, Dr. Phobian, if there's any chance at all this would be cancerous, we certainly want it removed. And I am more than willing to take and intervene surgically at a very early point, one, to remove the mass, and then two, to submit it and have a very accurate idea about what kind of potential it might pose, the potential that this mass would be cancerous or, as we say, neoplastic.
Dr. Phobian, what would you recommend as being the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association? Probably what's the one most important thing that pet owners can do to ensure that their pets live that longest, best quality of life possible?
Well, I believe that the AVMA's position, and I strongly share this as a practitioner of more than 30 years, is that establishing and maintaining a relationship with your veterinarian will certainly assist in increasing the quality of your pet's life, usually the length of your pet's life, and most importantly, the quality of the relationship and the happiness of the pet that you two share together.
Dr. Phobian, thank you so much. I do appreciate you taking the time today to chat with my listeners, pet owners, and help them become the best possible pet owners they can be. This is Dr. Bernadine Cruz. You've been listening to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. Thank you very much for listening. Please tune in again next week. We'll have more information on how to make you the best possible pet owner. Take care.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.